Today, as we celebrate All Saints' Day, it's a day that we remember all those who have passed on from this life to life eternal. On this day, we are especially reminded that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. When someone mentions the word saint, what image comes to your mind? Perhaps you think about the saints that you have read about somewhere in a book throughout history that you had to maybe read in school. These are persons who have done great things for God, some, and perhaps even performed some type of miracle. Maybe you think about statues you have seen of saints, especially in Roman Catholic churches. You see them around in cemeteries on tombstones or just as statues throughout. Maybe you should think about necklaces and medallions made of the saints. A lot of people wear them. I can remember a gift that I was given as a kid by a family friend. It was a silver necklace with a St. Christopher's medal on it. Now, I was told that it would keep me safe and protect me as long as I wore it. Now, here I was, this Baptist kid, growing up wearing this Catholic medallion. Now, I'm not sure what I really believed in or I believed that, but the necklace became a part of my everyday attire. I continued to wear it until, guess what? It weren't real. It started to tarnish so badly that it turned my neck a lovely shade of green. So that was the end of that. I took it off and threw it away. To me, it didn't mean a great deal because it wasn't something that I truly thought about a whole lot. You see, a saint can be defined as a holy person, a person who has been redeemed or someone who has been declared righteous by God. By this definition, anyone who has received Jesus as their Lord and Savior is a saint. In the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 32 through 41, Peter tells of this story of going down to the saints, to the followers of Jesus who lived in Lydia, and to a disciple named Tabitha, or in some Bibles her name is Dorcas. It's just according to which translation you might get. And guess what? Peter restored her to life. So that was something going down to the saints to restore somebody to life. The Bible also tells us the importance of meeting the needs of the saints. In the 12th chapter of the book of Romans, verse 13, we read, contribute to the needs of the saints. That's what it says, contribute to the needs of the saints. You know, all the saints have not gone on before. Some of the saints are still with us. In 2 Corinthians 9, 11 and 12, we find, you will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us for the rendering of this ministry. Not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. You see, the words saint and the words Christian or follower of Jesus are used interchangeably. If you're a Christian, guess what? You should be a saint. That's something to think about, isn't it? Today's passage from the first letter of John reminds us that when we accept God's love through Jesus Christ our Lord, we are called children of God. We are called the saints. A person becomes a saint through the love of God. Saints can be called children of God because of the great love that God has poured out for us. God has poured His Spirit out upon us, His love upon us. He's poured it out to us. You see, as God's children, you and I, we have worth beyond this world. But being a child of God is not some distant or future state. We are God's children here and now. We don't have to wait. We're right now. We're God's kids. And God's children, we live differently. We're supposed to. Following the example of Jesus that He gave us, it is as if the world does not even know us. We live abundantly. We live filled with love, joy, hope, and peace. You see, in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, we find the fruits of the Spirit. And the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That is the fruit of the Spirit. You see, these are the characteristics of a saint and a child of God. Are these fruits evident in our lives today? Are they evident in the life that you live? Can you see them in other people? What are you and I doing to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit that is in us? You see, this passage also tells us that being a saint is a work in progress. What we will be has not yet been revealed to us, it tells us in 1 John 3:2. I've not told you all of it yet, he says. It's not been revealed quite yet. You're going to learn it as you go along. You see, I love the children's song that states, "He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be." Joel Hemphill wrote that song many years ago, him and his wife, Labriska. And I love the song because it says, "He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How lovely and patient he must be." Because what? He's still working on me. You see, in this life that we live in, we strive to become more and more like Christ. We are becoming reflections of God each and every day. You see, this process of becoming a perfect reflection of Christ will take us all of our days on this earth until one day when we see the face of God and we see Him face to face. If this is our hope and our destiny, then we will do all in our power to make ourselves ready. You see, all who have this hope in Him purify themselves as Christ is pure, it says in 3:3. In Philippians 3:12-14, Paul talks about his own process of becoming all that God wants him to be. When he says, "Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Jesus Christ has made me His own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing that I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the heavenly that is called of God in Christ Jesus my Lord." You see, Paul would later refer to this process as a race. All Saints Sunday reminds us of the saints along that race course who encourage us each and every day and who cheers us on. On the journey, we've got people along the way that are telling us what a good job we're doing, what good deeds we're doing, that mold us, that perfect us, that guide us, that lead us. He says, "I encourage you and cheer you on." We are truly surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. The people that sit here today, the people around you are your great cloud of witnesses. And on this day, I invite you to remember those who have entered the church triumphant. Perhaps they died during this past year, or maybe it's been some time ago. Remember that they are still with us. Their spirit is still here. They surround us each and every day. As you travel this road of life, striving to become what God wants you to be, know that you are not alone. Standing along that path is a great cloud of witnesses. And they are cheering you on and they are cheering me on. May we all persevere until the day when we see Jesus and our loved ones face to face. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You so much this day for Your Word. And we ask, Lord, Your blessings upon this time that is at hand. That You go with us from this place today and perfect in us the goodness that comes. Reveal to us each and every day, moment by moment, as we journey. Hold us close and remind us, Lord, of all that You want us to be, all that we can be, and all that You desire for us. Hold us close this day, for it is in Your Son's name we do pray. Amen.